Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, can we have roll call, please?
Roll call, Director Amezcua. Director Bilodeau.
Present.
Director Green.
Here.
Director Meeks. Director Nguyen. Director Sheldon.
Here.
Director Tran.
Here.
Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Yeo.
Here.
You do have a quorum with seven directors present.
Okay. Do we have any items too late to be agendized?
There are none.
All right. Now it's time for visitor participation. We have a card here. Anybody else want to speak? Jim Fissler.
Yes, thank you, Madam President, board and staff. My name is Jim Fissler. I'm a director at Mesa Water District. And I'm here tonight to just say that Orange County Water District is a tremendous agency. It's internationally known. It's the most impactful special district in Orange County, if not the nation. And that's why I ran for a Division 7 seat last year in 2022. And that's why I've thrown my hat in the ring for appointment to the vacancy for the Division 7 seat. I hope to meet with all of you soon before the appointment process closes. But enough about that. You know, tonight, I also want to say that from your Philip Anthony lab to your engineering department, to your hydrogeology department, watershed management, wetlands management, public affairs department, your groundwater replenishment system department, all 21 of your departments are world class. But in closing, I want to talk about your general manager department and your general manager, Mike Marcus. I've known Mike since 2009. And I want to thank him so much for the many hours he spent before me at our Mesa Water Board, sharing, you know, the issues you guys are managing, your innovative solutions. It really kept us all up to date on what's going on here. And also for all the hours you spent, Mesa Water, we put on a water issue study group annually. And Mike has done modules for many years to share his knowledge with the residents. So I just want to thank you for all that. I also want to say congratulations on your retirement. And I want to express big, huge gratitude to you for what you've built here through your decades of service to benefit the people of Orange County. You've really left a legacy. And to the board, staff, and the public, I also want to say that no matter what you, what holiday that you enjoy during this season, whatever it is, I want you to have a safe and happy holiday. Whatever it is you celebrate, I want you to have a peaceful and prosperous new year. And I think this is a great time of year where people, things slow down a little, can take it easy, relax, spend some time with family and friends, have some joyful experiences and make warm memories. So I just want to thank you for your time and Merry Christmas to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? I don't have any other cards. Okay. Moving on to the consent calendar. Do I have a motion? Okay.
Second.
And I have a second.
Okay. Roll call, Director Amezcua.
Yes.
Director Bilodeau. Director Green.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Director Tran.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Okay. That motion carries with seven yes votes with Directors Nguyen and Meeks absent with Director Bilodeau, Director Sheldon's abstention on the personnel manual.
Item 14.
Item 14. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to the update on Research and Development.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam President. It's my honor to introduce Dr. Megan Plumlee, head of our research department. And Megan is going to give an update on what the research department has been doing for the last 6 months. Megan.
Thank you. Good evening, President Green and members of the board. Let me make sure to get my slides shared and maximized. Okay. All right, so I'm so excited to give you this update. I'm going to give you kind of a brief reminder about our biannual report that we issue, and then we've picked three projects to highlight tonight, just briefly. All right, so we recently issued our twice yearly report, the most recent one just in November. And this is a report where we give short, like 1 to 2 paragraph summaries about all the different projects we're working on and kind of count them up and reflect on progress and just have a few bullets about each, like what we've accomplished in the last 6 months and what's coming next. So we actually have 22 different projects and programs going on right now in R&D. And this full report was attached to the staff report for this item today. And one of the things we do in that reflection is look at, you know, publications, conferences, kind of general activity. So we're proud to reflect again and see that we actually had quite a few publications in the last period and lots of conference presentations too. So that's a nice way to see that our work is being recognized. The articles go out in the peer-reviewed scientific literature where scientists' peers scrutinize and comment on the work before it's published. So we had 4 peer-reviewed publications, a couple technical articles and technical magazines. And then also when we have a research, a grant to fund research studies, we of course have to write a final report to the grant funding agency. So we had a couple of those reports this last period. As far as conferences, we gave 8 presentations. I think all of these, we were the lead speaker, if I remember correctly. So lots of different conferences in the last about 6 months. And we have some new grants that we were awarded. So we're excited about that. A project funded by EPA, one by USBR, and one by the Water Research Foundation. And these all happen to be PFAS-related projects. And I'll talk about one of these grant awards in my upcoming slides. So for tonight's presentation, I wanted to give you an update on some work we're doing, a new project to upgrade several of our in-house pilots. So normally I talk more about like research studies that we're working on, but this is a little different. It's the equipment that we use to do a lot of these studies and how we're going through a process of kind of modernizing some of this equipment. And then the other two topics I'll cover are our projects. We completed one of our studies that I've spoken to you about before, which is our flow reversal RO pilot scale evaluation of this technology. So I have some results to share from this completed study. And then I'll talk about one of those new grant awards that we got. This one's related to studying PFAS in the reverse osmosis concentrate from the groundwater replenishment system. Okay, so as far as pilot upgrades, the research department has a number of pilots that we house at our Engineering Research Center, or ERC. So I'll show you where that is just for your point of reference. You see the microfiltration system and the RO system highlighted in green, where we are here at the plant. And the Engineering Research Center is just to the side of the microfiltration system, kind of behind the system. So you may not have walked past it before, depending on how you've meandered about the plant. But as I said, we have a number of ultrafiltration and RO pilots there. So here's another view. The top photo shows the Engineering Research Center. It's this outdoor area with a protective canopy. And we have these, here's a couple of the pilots shown in the pictures, UF on the left and RO on the right. And so we're going through a process of upgrading 2 of our 3 UF pilots and 2 of our, we have 2 RO pilots, so both of our RO pilots. We want to update the kind of outdated programmable logic controllers, or PLCs, and then the HMIs, human machine interface systems, to more modern standards to make it more workable, more efficient, make the data more secure. And we're going to have local data logging, but then transfer it to a cloud-based data platform. So kind of transitioning from the clipboards and writing down readings and entering it into Excel to a more modern system. And this would retain, of course, all the existing pilot functionality so that we can do our ongoing studies. And the types of studies that we use these pilots for are many and varied over the years, but one sort of classic example would be for the RO pilots. The small scale, you know, a miniature version of our full scale RO system lets us try out new things instead of testing it out at full scale on the plant, right? So for example, antiscalants. So at full scale, we feed, you know, antiscalants into the RO feed water to prevent the scaling of the RO process. And there's always new types of antiscalants coming out with different costs and different recommended doses. And so at pilot scale, we're able to try out different antiscalants and see how well they work before we deploy it at full scale. So that's just an example of the types of studies that we do with the pilot equipment. So more specifically what we're doing, so UF pilots, we call them very creatively number one and number two. The third one's called UF pilot number three. But the first two are much older. They're 20 plus years old with pretty obsolete HMIs and outdated PLCs. So we're upgrading that. We'd actually decided to decommission two of the older RO pilots, number one and number two, that were over 25 years old after an assessment that it may not make sense to update those ones and instead get new pilots. So we're keeping RO pilot three, which is newer, and updating it to add interstage boost and replace the PLC and HMI. And then we recently purchased RO pilot number four, which needs a few updates as well to accommodate our needs. So RO three, so we have two RO pilots now numbered RO three and RO four being upgraded. And that picture shows RO pilot number four. A lot of this work is being done in-house. So for example, maintenance and INE staff doing the updates for RO pilot number four. For some of the work, we did bring in an outside system integrator, KDC Systems, who's worked with in the GWRS full-scale plant before. So they're working through a scope of work with us to upgrade the UF and RO pilots, including developing a plan for each pilot, supplying the new hardware, the HMIs and PLCs, programming, wiring, and doing that cloud data transfer setup. So we're pretty excited about all the improved functionality the systems are going to have. But just to kind of try to give you a visual, the picture on the left is an example from RO pilot number four of what it looks like now, where these little controllers and monitors are like, like a speedometer dial, and you look at where the reading is and you write down the number on a clipboard. So we'd be transitioning from that to, you know, that goes away. We keep the existing panel, but put on an HMI that's like a touch screen where you can tab through the different screens and make selections and view the data. Okay, so that's it for our ongoing work to upgrade our pilots at the Engineering Research Center. Now I'm going to talk about the findings from a completed research study that used a different pilot. This was a pilot we received from the technology provider so we could try out their technology at small scale with our water supply. So this is flow reversal RO, reverse osmosis. This was funded by two different agencies, Southern California Salinity Coalition and the U.S. Bureau of Rec, through grant proposals that we wrote for competitive programs and were awarded to do this work. And Han, who's here in the back of the room from research department, he presented this work recently at the Water Reuse California Conference in Indian Wells just in November, which was very well received, full room. So just a reminder, kind of where we've been and what this technology is. So we've previously piloted a couple different but related technologies, closed circuit RO, and then forward osmosis RO. And now we've completed the pilot of flow reversal RO. So some fun acronyms here, but all with the same objective of exploring, can we increase the recovery or the efficiency of the RO process at GWRS? So right now we have an 85% overall recovery, meaning of all the feed water that goes into the RO process, you know, only 85% comes out as the purified water, and the other 15% is a concentrate that has separated out all the undesirable compounds and contaminants into that RO concentrate stream. But can we push that number up from 85% to higher? So flow reversal is a technology that is positioned to do that. It's just kind of, it's RO, but functioning, but operating a little differently, where instead of always feeding in the feed water from one end of the pressure vessel that has all the RO elements inside of it, you actually, with some valves turning on and off, allow the water to come in from the other end, and you switch back and forth like maybe every hour or so. And then it also has a way to make the first stage become the third stage, and vice versa, third stage become first, so in this first, second, and third stage RO process. So by sort of you know, changing where that salt, that water gets concentrated up, you're shifting around where scaling can occur and kind of throwing off the kinetics of scale formation, and in that way, reducing scale formation. And in doing so, you'd be able to potentially produce more, a higher efficiency of purified water production. So that's flow reversal in a nutshell. Here's the project team from research that worked on the study. We put the flow reversal RO pilot in our main RO building. There's a picture over there on the left and another one on the bottom right from another angle. And now it's been, now the study's done. So it's been packed up and sent back to the technology provider, which is Rotech and their partner ChartWater. So quick overview of what we found. We were not able to reach the recovery level that was, you know, hoped for and claimed could be possible by the technology partners or providers. They were hoping for more like 93 to 95% based on modeling, and we just didn't get there. But we did achieve about 89 to 90% stable recovery performance, and we confirmed this was still possible after the final expansion with the more challenging higher salinity feed water coming in. So again, our current recovery is 85%, so we were able to push that up using this pilot to about 90%. And that data shows that there, that we got through a 3-month steady state trial after a bunch of, you know, optimization work before that point, but then proved we could do it over a longer term, established what the cleaning interval would be. We were really kind of pushing the membranes hard. They're scaling up more because you're pushing up the recovery. So we're going to have to, we'd have to clean the membranes more often or do the clean in place CIP. Our current interval is more like every 6 to 12 months in the plant. So under this regime, I have to be more like every 3 months. We also tried whether we could treat RO concentrate directly. So could we take the RO concentrate from the plant and so if you imagine just leaving our current 3-stage conventional RO process alone and not adding all those flow reversal features, then potentially instead you could feed the RO concentrate to a separate, you know, flow reversal based RO system. And that really didn't work out. The membranes fouled actually irreversibly. We couldn't clean it back. So we, you know, decided, which was an important finding to figure out what doesn't work. So we decided that it's really not going to work for our water supply to treat RO concentrate directly with flow reversal RO. We took the pilot findings and developed that into a cost estimate. Because once you know exactly what recovery you can achieve, how much chemicals you have to use to do it, the cleaning intervals and that sort of thing, we can do the full scale cost estimate to implement the technology. We're still reviewing that with executive staff. The cost estimate looks okay, but it's not as attractive maybe as we wanted it to be because it's so affected by that recovery number. So if we had just gotten up to, I think, that 93-94%, I think the dollar per acre foot would be a little more attractive. But at the 90%, recovery, it's probably kind of borderline. This is something we'd want to pursue, but we're still looking at it. All right, last project, this new grant we've received to study PFAS in the RO concentrate, funded by the U.S. Bureau of Rec. So it's about a 200K grant, 212K for an 18-month study. This is through the USBR's Pitch to Pilot program. So we wrote a proposal, got invited to the next stage, and then research staff shown there, Mita and Han, gave a presentation virtually to USBR staff to pitch the project, and they ask you questions. It feels like a PhD defense, you know, with your committee sitting there. So we went through that process and were selected for award. So our partners are Kennedy Jenks, and then the technology providers, Ovivo and E2 Metrics. And we're going to study the feasibility of removing PFAS from the RO concentrate and then destroying it with the electrochemical destruction technology. So the concept here is that at the top of the screen, you can see our 3-step Gutierrez process, so the microfiltration, reverse osmosis, followed by UVAOP. And we know that the RO process produces a PFAS-free water. It does remove the PFAS from the secondary wastewater effluent water supply. But RO is a separation process inherently, so it's not destroying the PFAS. It's essentially filtering it out, right? So you have the purified water come through as permeate and goes on to the AOP treatment step. But that RO concentrate as a smaller waste stream, about 15%, as I mentioned earlier, of the flow, carries in it all the particles and microbial constituents and organic contaminants like PFAS that you separated out of the water. And the RO concentrate is currently, you know, regulated according to NPDES permitting, and OC San handles that and discharges it to the ocean. So the strategy here would be, can we treat the RO concentrate to remove the PFAS and then destroy that PFAS? And we've met with a number of technology providers and done interviews and been really looking for something that we think could work. And so we liked what we saw from Ovivo and E2Metrics, who have partnered to provide a complete package, the media filtration followed by the PFAS destruction. So how that would work in step one, you know, if it works, the RO concentrate would be filtered through an adsorbent media like ion exchange or granular activated carbon. So very similar to the systems that we're building with the producers to treat PFAS in groundwater, but just challenging that treatment system even more with this really, you know, fouling prone RO concentrate that has a lot of constituents in it besides just the PFAS. So the organic contaminants, hopefully including PFAS, would sorb to the media and then produce an effluent that is PFAS-free that could, for example, go on to the ocean discharge step. But then now you have all the PFAS on that media. What do you do with it? So when you change out that media, we could first do an extraction step to sort of wash the PFAS off, which requires a particular, you know, chemistry formula to do that. And then you would have this liquid stream with the PFAS in it and introduce that to a destruction technology, in this case, the electrochemical oxidation process developed by E2Metrics that they call EcoThor. So this is what we're going to evaluate in the project at pilot scale. So media pilot installation is ongoing now in the RO building. That's one of our research interns, Christine, setting up the columns that are going to be packed with different types of media, and then the RO concentrate fed through that. And I just show a picture there of a couple of the adsorbents that we're going to try out. We're going to try others as well, including some regenerable ion exchange products. All right, that's my last slide. With that, I can take any questions if there's time. Thank you.
Wow. Any questions or comments? Go ahead.
So in basic terms, how do they destroy the PFAS, which is known as the forever chemical?
Right. It's not so forever as long as you're willing to put a lot of power into a destruction process. It just takes a fair amount of energy. But electrochemical processes are those that use an electrical current to provide that energy to break chemical bonds. Okay. So you have the PFAS in the water, and then there's a cathode and an anode, and you pass an electrical current between the two, and it naturally produces like hydroxyl radicals and lots of electrons, and they basically break those bonds and just shatter it. Yeah.
That chemical.
And the hardest bond to break is that carbon fluorine bond, which is one of the strongest bonds in nature. So it makes a great, very, you know, long lasting consumer products that don't break down very easily, but produces contaminants that are hard to destroy with treatment processes. So you have to apply enough energy. So it comes down to that affects cost. But by doing the piloting and seeing how much energy it takes for our water, we can then develop those cost estimates and see if it could be practical.
And breaks it down to then harmless chemicals.
Right. So we call it like mineralizing it, because you just end up with stuff like CO2 or, you know, hydrogen H2 or, fluoride, which is harmless. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Director Sheldon.
Thank you, Madam President. First, Dr. Plum, thank you for the presentation. It was detailed and concise, and really, really kept my attention. I appreciate it. I'm a little concerned asking a question because the presentation certainly won't sound as nearly smart as I guess it could have been. Great. But on the, I'm interested on the Bureau of Reclamation grant. What was the total cost of the study, and how much are we participating, the private sector participating?
Is this for the PFAS RO concentrate study?
Yes.
So the USBR requires cost share. They want you to bring some money to the table, and they required 50% cost share, but we're able to do that by basically donating more of our time. So we will get the $212,000 as cash award towards our labor costs and materials and supplies and equipment, but we also have to bring some of our time to the table as that cost share. So the total value based on that is more like $400,000+.
So you'll be working the weekends?
Yeah.
On the concept of the study, the hypothesis, did they come up with it? Did you come up with it? Did you pitch it to them and they agreed to maybe do a RFI or RFQ for that, or how that come down?
The good news is that program is really open-ended, so you can just bring your idea. But they do have general areas of interest like PFAS, so that was listed. But otherwise, it was our idea. It was something we've been looking for a while. We hear technology companies talking about these great destruction technologies they have for PFAS, but they tend to be more applicable to like landfill leachates, like lower volumes of water that are higher in concentration with PFAS. And so we've been looking for something that could be a better fit for the municipal sector situation, like larger volumes of water with low concentrations of PFAS. So this is the first time we really found a technology partner that has sort of thought about this issue and made an integrated solution with that media filtration to first concentrate up the PFAS to get it in a state where then it can be efficiently destroyed. So we kind of, you know, we really liked what they, you know, had to offer. And so they have a lot of data at bench scale and some pilot scale to back it up. So we felt it was worth pursuing through this grant.
Lastly, in the past few years or whatever you'd like to, what do you think has been your most exciting study that you've been able to then see implemented here at the district with some cost savings or streamlining?
Ooh, that's a good question. Lots of interesting, exciting stuff. You know, as far as something that's been implemented, I would say the antiscalant testing. A long-term running program is evaluating antiscalants. The vendors come with, they say it's a great new product and we've done all this modeling, it's gonna be great for your plant, but we like to put it through with RO pilot and test it. And so the plant did make a switch to one of the antiscalants that was lower cost at a lower dose in pretty recent years, like maybe that was a couple years ago. So that's a pretty practical one, I would say. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I would say with the anti-scalants, and Mayhol can back me up. I mean, we're talking about saving several hundred thousand dollars a year because of those more efficient anti-scalants. So there definitely is a cost benefit to the work that Megan and her group do.
Anybody else? Thank you very much. Good report. Very interesting. Okay, moving on. To water resources?
The information is contained in the packet.
Okay. The SOPA report?
Yes, Madam President and fellow directors. Yesterday morning's SOPA commission meeting had three action items. One was that we received and reviewed the annual comprehensive financial report. It's called ACFR now. It was better when it was CAFR, C-A-F-R. A better acronym, but it included the report on audit as well by CJ Brown and Company. And it was a glowing report, really, on the financial reporting side at SOPA. And we also rejected all bids for an irrigation replacement landscape project for refreshing the property and the SOPA facility. The bids were non-responsive, and so we're bringing it back next year. The other item we deferred, it was agenda item 6C, which was SARCUP Water Use Efficiency Task Budget Adjustment, and we're going to pick that up in a future meeting. And that's all to report from there.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to action agendas, retirement, Director Amezcua. Packet?
It's in the packet.
All right. Thank you. Communications and Ledge. Director Yeo?
Yes, it is contained in the packet.
Okay. Thank you. Property?
It's in the packet.
It's in the packet.
Okay. And water issues?
Yes, also contained in the packet. Happy to answer any questions on it.
Okay. And admin finance, Director Yeo again.
It is contained in the packet as well. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Let's go back. Okay. Verbal report. President's report, we had a PFAS meeting, very short. No real new information that I that I heard. Anybody else? No. Okay. General Manager.
Thank you, Madam President. I would just like to point out that our operations manager, Derek Mansell, was a recipient of an award given out by the Southwest Membrane Operators Association, and he was awarded the Large Plant Operator of the Year. So congratulations to Derek. And also the district received an award. GWRS was named the Plant of the Year by the same association. So that all happened the last couple of weeks. But congratulations to Derek.
Nice. Okay, director's report. Any of the directors? I don't see anybody. Okay, general counsel.
Yes, Madam President, last closed session of the year. We have one for a conference of real property negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8 regarding real property located on the APNs identified on the agenda, with the general manager, Mr. Marcus, as the OCW negotiator, negotiating party, City of Anaheim, regarding price and terms. Recommend recess to closed session at this time.
Okay, we are recessed.